Beloved congregation, I would like us to consider for a moment this morning that here in the West, where we live, we are among the 10% richest people of the world's population. What that means, children, is that 90% of the people of this world wish they had what we have. 90% of all the people in the world have much less than we have. And so we come to Thanksgiving Day today. And I would like to ask you, what's that all about for you? When you keep that in mind, that we are among the 10% of the filthy rich of this world. What's it all about? Is it just so we can have a nice turkey dinner together today? That's nice. Is Thanksgiving just one day per year? Because that's what some people in history thought we should be doing? Are we thankful today? You know that you can only be truly thankful if you are content with your circumstances. And without contentment, there really is no thanksgiving. That there's really just discontent, grumbling, complaining, muttering under our breath about how things are going or not going. You see, thankfulness and thanksgiving are not natural to us. Contentment is not something that's natural to me. We need to learn both. But first comes contentment. And you might think, well, that should be easy for us, living here in Ontario, knowing that all across North America, the crops are very good this year. For most of us, it has been a very profitable year. But what if the Lord had sent diseases among us? Or tornadoes? Or what if we were in warfare? What if we had been invaded? What if your husband or wife became seriously ill? Parents, what if one of your children was diagnosed with a deadly disease? Can we then still have Thanksgiving today? Is it then still possible to be content? What if there were no family dinner today? I read of some of those people who were killed in Turkey on the weekend. One of them went to find his loved ones and they were all gone. If that were Thanksgiving Day for that person, he would be all by himself today. Can he still have Thanksgiving Day? Is it possible to still be content? No matter what your circumstances are. Philippians was the first church that Paul planted in Europe. And then he left and went back, and then they had a collection for Paul. And they sent it by Epaphroditus, who had worked so hard with Paul in Rome that he became sick, and now his health was restored, and he helped Paul to write this letter and delivered it back to the Philippians. And it is in that letter that we find Paul speaking of contentment. Our text this morning is Philippians 4, verse 11, the last part of verse 11, right through verse 13. Philippians 4, 11b. I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's our text, the word of the Lord. Our theme is, Thanksgiving Day contentment. Three questions to answer. What is Thanksgiving Day contentment? And then secondly, how is it learned? And thirdly, what is its secret? What is it? How is it learned? What is its secret? Paul says in verse 11, I have learned. Later on he says, I am instructed. Instructed what? Contentment. The word content in Greek comes from two Greek words. The one is the word for enough, and the other is the word for self. So, content means to have enough for yourself, to be content with your lot. So when we are content, that's an inner satisfaction. I have enough for myself, and I could say for my family. Enough for ourselves. So if you think about it in a Christian sense, that the Christian virtue whereby we are happily satisfied with our present situation. Because that's how God has led all things. And because the Lord has determined this circumstance for me. And I wish for nothing else for the present. And when I look to the future, I don't worry. That's a kind of a working definition for contentment. That's different than thankfulness. Thankfulness is usually about individual matters, individual things in our lives. But contentment takes all those individual things together and has the whole picture. And Paul says, whatever state I am in, I'm content. He's content with what he is at present, and that's not a real pleasant situation because he's writing this letter from prison. And he misses his freedom. He's not healthy. He's no longer a young man. He doesn't have the drive of his youth that he used to have. From the same place he writes the letter to Philemon. And he calls himself Paul the Aged and a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And yet, Paul has discovered the secret of a truly happy life, a life of contentment. And he has discovered that that does not depend on my freedoms. It doesn't depend on riches. It doesn't depend on my health or honor or power or property or family or husband or wife or children. Doesn't depend on anything of those. Contentment means to be satisfied with what you have. So children, a story from the old days, in the 1930s, the time of a great recession. There was a man who lived at that time, and his neighbor said, he never complains. Everybody else was complaining, but not this man. He never complained except one time. That's when he had no shoes and no money to buy shoes. And then he complained. But he went out on the street, and there he met a man who had no feet. And from that moment, he was content with what he had. And he thanked God for the mercy to have 2 feet. An example from our days. A few years ago, a lady is in the hospital. Been there for a long time. Didn't know if she was going to come back out. She was in bad shape. She didn't complain. I said, well, why is that? Other people grumble and complain, but you're always positive about these things. And she said, I look around me in this place, and I can always find somebody who is in much worse condition than I am. And if that doesn't work, I just watch the news for a while. And there's always people who are with greater problems than mine. And she was content with her situation. You can think of contentment as an attitude of gratitude that says, this is right. This is good. I don't want it to be different. Because this is God's will for me at this time. That you say, but no matter what the circumstances, yes. But how do we get this contentment then? Is this something that you and I have by nature? Not at all. Is it something that if we try really hard, we can begin to be content? No. It's something that we have to learn. It's something that is taught. That's our second question. How is it learned? Paul says, I have learned, verse 11. I am instructed in verse 12. I've learned to be content. I didn't have it of myself. Somebody had to teach me. No one of himself is content. Each one must learn it. And no one learns it without the Lord's chastening rod. Contentment is learned on your knees by the cross of Christ. Yes, you can learn to be content. I can learn to be content at the feet of the Lord Jesus, where we learn from Him, who never complained, never grumbled. But as we'll see in a little while, He wasn't just our example, though He was that, but that's not all He was. Paul learned contentment because he knew better things. He had learned very practically to rest satisfied with his own lot, and it wasn't always pleasant. Listen what he says in 2 Corinthians, in weariness, painfulness, watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings, in cold and nakedness. Most of us will never have to go through any of those things. But whatever God allowed him was sufficient for him in any situation. That's why he could write to Timothy, godliness with contentment is great gain. Because we brought nothing into this world, and it is sure we shall take nothing out of it. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. No matter how things seem to be against him, he could be content with such things as he had. That's why he writes to the Hebrews, let your lifestyle be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Paul could cheerfully and patiently submit to God's providential leadings in his life. He knew that his most gracious and tender-hearted Father would never leave him or forsake him. In fact, that Father had already given him greater things than any of the earthly things that he thought he might need at this moment. That's how he could write Romans 8 verse 32. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him also freely give us all things? I am instructed, he says, everywhere and in all things. That means his whole life for Paul was a school for contentment. Not just for spiritual matters only. We have to always be careful not to separate too much spiritual from the physical, because soul and body makes a person. So he's talking here also about physical outward things. I know how to be abased, how to be humbled, that means, and I know how to abound. Whether in poverty or in plenty, Paul had learned to be content. Even unto this present hour, he writes somewhere, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. In all those circumstances, he was being instructed to be content. whether to be full or to be hungry, how to abound, how to suffer need. When hungry and poor, he had learned from the Lord Jesus himself not to be distressed, but to be confident. Jesus had said, "Take no thought saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? Wherewith shall we be clothed? Your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all those things." So Paul writes, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair." That's the kind of thing it took for Paul to be taught contentment. Trouble. Perplexity. You are content when you desire nothing more. You are content with a little bit of bread, with a little bit of strength, a crumb, as it were, from the master's table. And then whether you only have a little bottle or a huge barrel, doesn't matter. They're both full. Paul learned contentment from the Lord Jesus Christ through the Word of God. "Take therefore no thought for the morrow. The morrow shall take care for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." So, dear believer, when you are in poverty or illness or sorrow, troubles, trials, difficult circumstances, then by the grace of God you may say, "I lack many things," it's true, "many things which I would love to have. But I receive so many blessings for which I am unworthy. Many things seem to be against me, but the Lord has not dealt with me according to my sins. If things keep going against my will, even if I lose everything that I so cherish and I love to call my own, then I know that God is my portion in eternity." Through God's unspeakable grace, I have chosen that good part which no one and nothing can take away from me. You've heard of John Newton, the slave ship captain who later became a pastor. We know him from the hymn that he wrote, "Amazing Grace." When he was a pastor, there was a lady in his congregation who had lost all her possessions. She owed a lot of money and she couldn't pay, and the creditor had come and repossessed everything she had. And Newton went to visit her. You know what he said to her? What do you think he said, children? You think he said, "Oh, I'm so sorry for you, madam"? No, that's not what he said. He said, "Good day to you, madam. You are richly blessed." You say, what an awful thing to say to a person. Just everything's been taken away. And she said, "You shouldn't talk that way to me." He said, "I shouldn't? When you are one of the people in this world who possess the one thing needful, that good part that Jesus spoke about that shall never be taken away from you, then I may say to you this morning, no matter what your circumstances, you are richly blessed." And dear child of God in this congregation, no matter what your circumstances this morning, I say it to you, like John Newton said to his parishioner, "Good day to you. You are richly blessed." So, contentment. To be satisfied with the Lord's dealings and leadings in your life. And it is learned mostly in the way of trouble and perplexities. But there is a secret to it. There is a secret to it. We'll talk about that secret after we sing together, number 366. What is the secret of Thanksgiving Day contentment? It's in verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul is saying, I have the resources to do all things in Christ, the one who is strengthening me. Yes, Paul had learned great things. He'd learned to be content. He'd learned how to be full and how to be empty, how to abound and how to have little. Yet despite knowing all those things, he's not conceited. He's not puffed up with pride. If he were here this morning, he wouldn't be looking down on us because we hadn't attained to such great contentment as he. He didn't want the Philippian church to see him as some super Christian. Doesn't want us to think that we cannot attain to what he had. No, he points us to the secret of contentment. And he does so by resting completely on the power of Christ. I can do all things, he says. And in the context, he's saying, I can be content with prosperity or adversity. I can be content to be full or to be hungry. But I can only do this through Christ. By faith being united to Christ, by the power of His Holy Spirit dwelling in me, I have strength in the Lord. Through Christ strengthening Him, Paul can do all things. So that God will accept Paul's contentment, even though it is so imperfect, in Christ. There never will be anything in Paul that can stand before God. He finds his all in Christ. And dear believers, we need strength from Christ Jesus. It's found only in Him. Strength and the ability to perform all our Christian duties, including contentment. Yes, it is a command in Scripture. Be content. And now we need to be taught to be content. It seemed like Paul was bragging a little bit. I know how to be abased. But now he transfers all the praise to his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Only in Christ who strengthens me can I do these things. Christians are encouraged in Ephesians 6 verse 10 to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Nowhere are we told to be strong in ourselves. God knows better than that. We are to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. We live this Christian life, the life of holiness and sanctification, strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Ephesians 3, verse 16. In our text, the Greek has it like this. I can do all things through Christ who is strengthening me and who continually strengthens me. And it is only by His constant and renewed strength that I am able to act in anything and everything. I completely depend on Him for all my spiritual power. I can do it through Christ. That's how it ought to be. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You are strengthened with might by the Holy Spirit in the inner man. But God's people, God's children are often so backwards from this. So many times we are seeking so much of the earthly here, so much wanting our own way, and becoming upset when we don't get it. And anxiety sneaks up on us, and we begin to look around and to be discontent and to fret and to worry and to be anxious and say, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Sometimes even hating this life because of all the increasing anxieties, and there can be so much doubting of God's providence in our lives, and then at times we can take it to mean that God is angry with us and He doesn't love us anymore. And when things don't go as we like, we can take it to mean that God is not gracious to us after all, and that we're not His people after all. And when we think that way, we're simply giving in to the devil, the accuser of the brethren. And then our spiritual life becomes very, very dull. And we begin to think and speak and seek and want only what we desire. And all of that is just blatant idolatry that puts me at the center of attention, where I don't belong. Christ needs to be at the center of attention. So on Thanksgiving Day 2015, we can ask each other, right? You know, how is that with you? This whole matter of contentment on Thanksgiving Day. God has given us so much in the past year, in our families, in our church, in our businesses, freedoms, health. So does God today receive all the honor and all the thanks? Does He receive our lives as a sacrifice of thanksgiving? You know, the beginning of contentment is to confess that Jacob in the Old Testament, I am not worthy the least of all thy blessings. That's the beginning of contentment. And the end of contentment is this, to say with Paul, I can do all things through Christ who is strengthening me. That's the secret of contentment. I can do all things through Christ who's strengthening. What words of encouragement this is for a believer, knowing that that's not the case with me. Teaching us that it is possible for you, by God's grace, to be content even when you're facing the most horrible trials and difficulties and disappointments. What rich words of experience here. Contentment is, it's not to be confused with our natural temperaments. Some people just seem naturally to be content. They may be naturally tolerant of things, but toleration is not contentment. Contentment needs to be learned. And it is learned only through hard and testing experiences. So let's pray then, Lord, teach me, instruct me to be content anywhere and everywhere and in all things. I can do all things through Christ who is strengthening me. What rich words of instruction. Contentment in this world does not depend on anything the world offers. Only in Christ can we learn to be content. I can be content through Christ. Contentment comes from Him, through His work in our hearts, by the Holy Spirit, that contentment is planted and it grows. We become more and more like Christ, who's always content. who said in one place, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work." He was so content with what the Father had required of him. Thanksgiving Day contentment is contentment also for Christ, in the sense that with Paul, for Christ's sake, we're prepared to lose all as long as we may be found in Him. Philippians 3 verse 9, to be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Thanksgiving Day contentment is contentment with Christ. Only because He is with us can we be content. Paul was content in Christ. Possessing Christ, that brought him a contentment that didn't depend on anything else. He was content to have Christ. Philippians 3 verse 8, "Doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, but I count them but dung that I may win Christ." See, for Paul, this whole thing of contentment, it's all about Christ. I can do all things, he says, through Christ, who is strengthening me. Paul was content with Christ. I ask you this morning on Thanksgiving Day, are you content with Christ? Is that enough for you? Is He enough for you? God the Father is well pleased with His Son. God the Father is content with His Son. Are you? You know, you can have no real Thanksgiving Day unless by faith you are in Christ. You can wish each other happy Thanksgiving Day till you're blue in the face, but if you are an unbeliever, you will not celebrate Thanksgiving Day today. You can't. Because it is only in and through Christ that you can be thankful and content. And yet unbelievers in our midst this morning do not need to despair because of that. Because the man who wrote these words was at one time an unbeliever too, just like you. And yet he turned to Christ. And you may know this morning that you are welcomed by the Lord Jesus Christ today too. When you return to the Lord today, calling out, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner," acknowledging, "Lord, it is of Thy mercies that I am not consumed." That Lord Jesus hasn't changed. He's still the same. Flee to Him. He will not cast you out. There's also people among us this morning who will say, "I need the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only on Thanksgiving Day, Pastor. I need Him every day. In fact, if I don't have Jesus, I perish. I wish I were content. I wish I were thankful. But I find just the opposite in me. Discontent. Unthankfulness. Instead of praising my Lord, I'm often complaining. Instead of thanking my Lord, I'm often grumbling. Instead of trusting Him, I'm often so anxious for the future. I don't want it to be this way, but I can't seem to change myself." that what's going through you, your mind, your heart right about now? And the Apostle Paul has a word for you. Dear believer, remember your place. Remember where you are in Christ, by grace, through faith. And that means you have the resources to do all things in Christ, the one who is strengthening you. Don't give up. Don't give up. Call out to Him. He teaches you slowly on to be content. And as you learn in contentment, you can have Thanksgiving Day. Because He's teaching you in all things and everywhere how to be full, how to be empty. But we have to remember that that learning takes time. There's no Christian who has learned it completely. Not even Paul. He writes somewhere else, I haven't attained to it. I'm still learning. And I'll keep on learning. And it's true for all believers. We're all learning. We're all being instructed. But the most wonderful thing is we're being instructed by that precious Holy Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect teacher. And when He's teaching you through His Word, then you can learn to be patient in adversity with contentment. You can learn to be thankful in prosperity with contentment. And you can learn to trust God for the future with contentment. It's going to take your whole life to learn it. Your whole life. And then when you finally get it, He will take you home to be content with Him perfectly forevermore. Dear child of God, right now, God the Father is content with you in Christ. He can't be more pleased with you than He is now. He can't love you any more than He loves you now. He can't be more gracious to you any more than He is now. Because He sees you in Christ. But the day will come. The day will come when you will be perfectly content with your Lord Jesus and with your God and Father forevermore. Why? Because you have learned the secret of contentment, which is, I can do all things through Christ who is strengthening me. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious Father in heaven, we thank Thee, O Lord, for Thy precious word, where we learn not only what contentment is and how it is learned, but also what its secret is. And we thank Thee for these glorious gospel words that we hear this morning from the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit for people like us today. I can do all things through Christ who is strengthening me. Oh Lord, we pray that Thy people may more and more learn to live out of this Christ. May learn more and more from Him. Thy Spirit would teach us ever more deeply who we are in Him and what we are in Him and how we may also be content in this life no matter what our circumstances is. For when we have Christ, oh Lord, surely then we have all. For Thou hast said, He who gave His only begotten Son, shall He not also with Him give us all things? Bless us, Lord, with increased faith. Grant that we may grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And be with those in this congregation, Lord, who are still strangers to Christ, strangers to grace. Remember them, Lord. Draw them irresistibly. Lord, at this time, we also wish to thank Thee for our organist, Mr. Neville, who has faithfully served this congregation for 40 years. Lord, we thank Thee for him, for his abilities, for his faithful service. Bless him further in his career and his retirement from being a church organist. Remember him together with his wife and family. Lord, we pray all this, that Thou would forgive all our many sins. In Jesus' name, amen.